You want to hear my pitch?
Go away, goddammit!
You know, I'm just trying to do something. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. Cool. Okay, there's a serial killer, right? Well, no, wait. And he's being hunted by a cop. And he's taunting the cop, right? Sending clues who his next victim is. He's already holding her hostage in his creepy basement. So the cop gets obsessed with figuring out her identity and in the process falls in love with her. Even though he's never even met her. She becomes like the unattainable, like the Holy Grail.
It's a little obvious, don't you think?
Okay, but here's the twist. We find out that the killer really suffers from multiple personality disorder, right? See, he's actually really the cop and the girl. All of them are him. Isn't that fucked up? The only idea more overused than serial killers is multiple personality. On top of that, you explore the notion that cop and criminal are really two aspects of the same person. See every cop movie ever made for other examples of this. Mom called it psychologically taught. The other thing is, there's no way to write this. Did you consider that? I mean, how could you have somebody held prisoner in a basement and working in a police station at the same time?
Trick photography.
Okay, that's not what I'm asking. Listen closely. What I'm asking is, in the reality of this movie, where there's only one character, right? Okay? How could you... What exactly would... I agree with Mom. Very taut. Sybil meets, I don't know, Dress to Kill.
Cool. I really like Dress to Kill. Until the third act denouement.
That's not how it's pronounced.
Pre-recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A. It's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
Where's Pancake's house?
What?
We stop at Pancake's house.
What are you, nuts? We have pancakes for breakfast. Gotta go to a place where I can get a shot and a beer. Steak, maybe. Not more fucking pancakes. Come on. Oh, come on, man. Okay, here's an idea. We can stop outside of Brainerd and I know a place there we can get laid. What do you think?
I'm fucking hungry now, you know.
Yeah, Jesus. Just saying, we can stop, get pancakes, and then we'll get laid, all right?
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
It's my theory that Nicolas Cage is a very, very underrated actor.
I think he's perfectly rated. He just picks really shitty scripts. He hadn't been in a good movie in I don't know how long.
No, he's underrated. Everyone seems to think he's just like this nitwit. And, well, minus, you know, Raising Arizona, which everyone universally loves. But if you look at Adaptation, which that was the clip at the top there.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, really, he's a great actor. He just does not know how to pick projects. He's just in some really shitty movies.
Yeah.
But he's become one of those actors that is basically just plays himself. I mean, he's the same, you know, kind of doof, blank-eyed stare, kind of, you know, morphine addict in every movie. Thank God he never made that Superman movie. I would have shit my pants.
Yeah, that's awful. You want to talk about flop sweat?
Oh, my God.
Go look at those. If you're on Google right now, go Google Nicolas Cage Superman and see some of the costume tests. It's really kind of sad to look at and makes you very uncomfortable.
These aren't real. These are photoshopped. But still, terrifying.
Have you seen them? Are you looking at them?
I'm looking at them right now. Yeah, it's awful. Terrifying.
Well, you know they're rebooting Superman. They're starting all over again.
Well, they did. Yeah, fucking hell. That last one I wanted to like so much, the Superman Returns, because it had such, you know, it had such great credentials. It had Singer and I mean Brandon Roush or whatever the fuck
Ralph,
that guy's name was
yeah.
was really physically good. Actually looked like Christopher Reeve, and had the mannerisms down. But the movie was just bloodless, absolutely bloodless.
Yeah.
I can't forgive whoever wrote that script. I mean, they had everything going for them.
Yeah, it was the two guys, you know, who wrote X-Men, for God's sake, wrote that.
And that was a great franchise until they fucked it up in the third one. I'll tell you what, though. The 25th anniversary of Back to the future is this month, which that startled me that it was an October release. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
It came out in October?
Right.
And then it played for like a year because I saw it literally, and no movie has ever topped this, I saw it 15 times in the theater.
No way!
Yes, I am not kidding you. That summer, my parents, as they were wont to do, dumped me at my grandparents' for the summer just to get rid of me. And, you know, Hattiesburg, Mississippi in the summer, fuck all to do.
Yeah.
So I would hang out at the mall and it was playing there and I would just go see it like every day. I loved that movie. It was one of the most perfect summer popcorn movies ever. I mean, what a brilliant script.
Yeah.
And then to have such a bullshit second, you know, first sequel, the part two sucked balls.
Yeah.
And then part three was fantastic. Like if they could have just somehow done away with two and just leapt right to three.
Right.
You know, like just pretended the ending was wrong. And at the end, Marty comes out of his garage and Doc is already in the Wild West. You know, just get rid of that second act. It sucked.
Yeah.
And the replacement of Jennifer with the fat Elizabeth Shue just didn't work for me at all. And they had nothing to do with her. You know, she just, they're just, we don't know what we're going to do with this character. So you know what? She's going to sleep on a fucking park bench for the rest of the movie.
Right.
It's so embarrassing. They even say, I was listening to director's commentary on the whole, well, it's the producers and the writer, Bob Gale and Neil Canton, do the commentary because Robert Zemeckis couldn't be fucked to do it, I guess. So, and they're like, yeah, it was. We really made a mistake. We didn't know we were going to make sequels. We didn't know it would be successful. So when we put Jennifer in the car in the last one, huge mistake because we had nothing to do with her. I mean, she just doesn't – she's not in the third one at all, you know, until the end. It's just embarrassing. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just, I love that movie.
I think we forget how truly iconic that movie was for our generation. I mean, Michael J. Fox kind of represented those of us who grew up in the 80s, and that was sort of like the – that was the centerpiece of kind of 80s culture, and but done in a way that
it's funny, and he did it in two directions. Like he did the Marty McFly and the Teen Wolf, which even at when I was a kid, I loved Teen Wolf. I'm sorry, it's a horrible movie. You're not a movie connoisseur with 15, for Christ's sake.
Teen Wolf, huh?
So he defined that sort of skateboarding rebel, you know, 80s teen. But then in Family Ties, he's the complete opposite, right? He's the perfect Reagan, you know, the neophyte Reagan example. So that was just a great movie.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, that movie made me want to go and buy a skateboard. Back to the Future.
Yeah, I did. I absolutely did. Yeah. And here's what happened. You want to hear what happened? I went to Springfield Mall.
Okay.
You remember the skate shop in Springfield Mall?
Yes, I do.
It was a whole skate shop down at the far end of Springfield Mall, down the dark end. Uh-huh. Remember before they remodeled it, how fucking scary it was? You get stabbed at Springfield Mall.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You get stabbed.
Well, you still can.
But remember that crappy Chinese restaurant at the big number two entrance?
Yeah.
I worked at the one and two right across from that, right? I worked at that movie theater.
Uh-huh.
And there was a skate shop that sold, you know, it was like the hippie kind of skate shop deal with the kids with the tattoos and the piercings and everything. And I went in because of Marty McFly. I bought myself a really cool skateboard. Never been on a skateboard in my life, ever. Took it down to the towards where I worked, stood on it, like got on it for the first time. And you know how waxy and silky and like mirror sheen, like glass, the floors of malls are, right?
Yes, exactly.
You don't want a skateboard when you're 200 pounds, you know, this fat kid that's never been on a skateboard. You don't want to do that in a mall,
right,
on the mall floors. So I stood on it, and I went to do the little thing where, you know, you put the back down and you lift the top up and you look cool. Bailed out from under me.
Oh,
shot
God.
Like a rocket out from under me. I fall flat on my fat ass.
Right.
And the thing rolls, hits a plate glass window, and makes this enormous crack from the ceiling to the almost.
Oh, my God, really?
Almost like the Blues Brothers explosion of window, almost. My dad had to pay for that.
It's like a cartoon, and you just totally.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Right.
Exactly. And that was, see, if my father had been smart, he would have taken the skateboard, gotten his little receipt, and taken it back down to the skate shop and returned it for my birthday, because that was a birthday present. But no, he allowed me to keep it, and then I subsequently broke a total of 3 bones on that thing.
Wow.
My left arm and my right thumb and my right forefinger.
And you didn't break your coccyx?
I did not break my coccyx.
Usually, no. The coccyx
is always falling forward.
Okay.
No, I was always going down Lake Braddock Drive. You know, big hill Lake Braddock Drive was.
Oh yeah,
big fucking hill. And I had no skills to be going down Lake Braddock Drive on my skateboard. Right. Coming home from school because I could walk or ride my bike, but I decided to ride my skateboard, which was unbelievably stupid. Mm. Flying down Lake Braddock Drive, hit a huge chunk of something in the road, rock or wood,
right.
And was off the board, sailing through the air, literally long enough to think about how I wanted to land. Yeah. I mean, it was like I was like Wile E. Coyote. I could have held up a sign that said, you know, oh shit. I could have assembled a sign and written on it and held it up to the camera in the time that I was in the air. And when I hit the ground, my left arm just went pop. And Jesus. That was that.
Right. I mean, your big parka vest didn't break your fall, your Marty McFly parka vest?
I'll tell you what, I did scour the earth for that jeans jacket that Marty McFly. Which was awesome. It had a map on the inside. I can tell you all about it. I had all the books. I had all the magazines. A girl at school accused me of being gay for Michael J. Fox, and I couldn't really dispute it. I was like, yeah, I am a little bit gay for Michael J. Fox.
You're totally gay. You're still gay for Michael J. Fox at this point.
I love Michael J. Fox. Spin City was awesome.
Yeah, Spin
City
was great.
He's just a great guy. He's got such a fucking great attitude about his Parkinson's. It's just, he's a great, great guy. So
yeah, and you know what? What's funny? I saw there was some commercial that came on that had that commercial that song from Family Ties. Remember that very special, Family Ties where he meets Ellen or something. What was his girlfriend's name? Like who eventually?
He married.
It was Ellen, right?
Ellen.
Yeah, and then there was that song that became a huge hit because it was on that.
Oh,
episode.
Right. Yeah. That's so funny that they're still together. I mean, that's a great Hollywood marriage.
Yeah, it really, really is.
If they ever broke up, I'd probably kill myself.
Because you're living
love you, Michael.
You're living vicariously through her.
Yes.
And
but you know who's sucking ass right now is Eric Stoltz. Because Eric Stoltz, they shot for 5 weeks with Eric Stoltz.
Five weeks. That's insane.
That is a huge amount of film to throw out. 5 weeks, and then to go in and say, Eric, you know what? Dude, you suck balls. You've got to go.
Yeah.
And they go back and reshoot. And that's why I will put my money down for the 25th anniversary Blu-ray because I want to see this new Eric Stoltz stuff. Even though I put my money down for the 3-disc special edition regular DVD, I'm pissed off. They better not ever be another format other than Blu-ray because I'm not buying my favorite movies again at seventh, eighth time.
Oh, you will.
VHS, Laserdisc, regular DVD, Blu-ray DVD. Fuck that.
Yeah. See, I'm skipping entirely over the Blu-ray, and I'll tell you why. Because the format after that is, it's going to be downloadable. Eventually, we're not even going to have, like, physical discs that we're going to have to deal with. It's going to go...
Just aim it in your brain.
I mean, I must have 1,500 movies and shows on DVD.
Oh, me too.
I mean, I just got this huge, like, it's like a huge, like, IKEA display area. Just filled with DVDs. And I just have no intention of going, Blu-ray, and then going through and buying everything on Blu-ray, which I am so tempted to do. But I will not do it because I know what's coming after that is going to be sort of the iTunes for movies, where eventually we're just going to be downloading entire DVD length features and shows and things like that. Direct onto a handheld device or some sort of unit that's there connected to your TV or, you know, I have no idea what it's going to be. Ask Steve Jobs. But I mean, that's exactly what's going to be happening. And so I have no interest whatsoever I have
a very thin Blu-ray library, just my very, very favorite in the top of the pack. But otherwise, my PS3 up converts, you know, nicely. So most of the stuff that I've got on regular DVD looks pretty good on my setup. So,
yeah, well, it always starts out that way. Always starts out small. I had, you know, I was like, you know what? I'll get, because I had a big VHS collection prior to that.
Yeah.
In fact, I was so anal with my VHS stuff. I used to have a card catalog with, you know, because I would record movies from HBO.
Three or four movies. Yeah. Two or three movies a tape. Yeah, I would do that too.
And I would catalog them with the time index. Oh, Yeah, so I could advance right. If I wanted to watch the middle movie out of those three movies, I could go look up alphabetically in my little card catalog, pull the card, say, okay, all right. So Man Without a Face starts about halfway through. I don't know why Man Without a Face. What an awful movie.
He had a burned face.
Yeah, he had a burned face. And
that was terrible. People are going to start bitching if we don't talk about politics.
Yeah, politics. Yeah.
With your VHS.
Yeah, you know, screw anyone who gives a flying rip at what point we start talking about politics.
Well, yes, I agree. I am no slave to popular opinion, as you well know.
Besides, you know, I'm feeling a little slow this morning.
Me too.
I was up.
I was up all night murdering animals.
Yeah. Well, I was up all night just...
that masturbating?
No, drinking.
That's the wrong sound effect.
Oh, it is, right? Do you think? I thought like the dog slurping sound effect would actually work.
Sounds like you're rubbing one out. Sorry.
Well, I did a lot of that too. But
Now it's a whole different show.
Yeah. It was just lots of I had Zizou on and I was watching Life Aquatic with Steve Zizou and
love that movie.
And just drinking. or masturbating. Yeah, anyway.
Well, it's an all-purpose sound effect.
Yes, indeed.
I wish I had been drinking. I was up writing and then just decided to glance out the back door for no apparent reason, and there's that fucking possum on my glass top picnic table. So you're really reticent to shoot at an animal on top of a glass top table, but all the cats were sitting in we lost three cats this week. Three cat deaths.
Three
one
cats.
One out on the highway and two kittens. Yeah.
So now you're down to six. Now you're at my number.
Six kittens.
Six,
where
six
there
kittens.
Were eight.
Okay.
And then I don't know. I can't even keep track of how many adults. But anyway, they were all the outside cats, the ones that aren't in the garage, were sitting in sort of a ring, a sort of a circle, like rings around Saturn, sort of around this possum, just watching it eat their food.
Yeah.
And a big fat sloppy son of a bitch, and I figure, you know, I don't want to kill it and I bang on the glass, nothing, looks at me like, yeah, what, I'm eating here. Mm-hmm. And then I open the door and I yell at it, nothing. He turns around, goes over to the corner of the table and sits. Just sits.
They don't
I'm
move
like, all right, no
they don't.
As soon as it's that domesticated, I mean, as soon as it's that, you know, ready to rumble, where it won't just slink off when a human shows up, got to be dealt with.
Yeah.
So went and got my rifle and put a couple slugs in it, and it rolled its head up and fell off the table and hit the concrete with this poor splat. It's just this god awful. I mean, I put one in it and then it kind of sat there like, oh, I got shot. Yeah. And I'm like, the last thing I need is this fucking thing like in death throes biting my cats and giving them horrible diseases, and you know, they're much worse wounded, right?
Yeah.
So I put another one in it and it rolled off and kasplat. And then I feel like Dexter. I scoop it up with my snow shovel. My snow shovel is my all-purpose animal removal implement because it's got this nice big deep, you know, scoop. And I scoop that fucker up. And I got this bucket, this all-purpose animal disposal bucket. Scooped it. But then I'm worried. The whole time I'm worried. And this is like 11 o'clock at night. And so I can't really see it very well. And I'm worried that I'm going to be carrying this out and it's going to Friday the 13th on me, right? It's going to just jump out of the bucket and be reanimated and bite me in the face. So I had to drag it, you know, take the bucket down to the highway and chuck it over the rim, into the gully, into the ditch. I guess the farmer next door really kind of wonders where all these dead animals come from that end up in his cornfield. But don't tell anybody.
Don't forget. Sometimes dead is better.
That's right.
Another great Stephen King movie right there.
Uh-oh.
The Pet Sematary, right?
Yeah, no, that one's horrible.
Yeah, it is kind of horrible. Except for Fred Gwynne. I mean, you can't not like Fred Gwynne in that movie.
Yeah, well, you got to like Fred Gwynne in anything.
That's right.
Especially My Cousin Vinny.
So,
Did you say Utes? What?
That's one of the great scenes when he's talking about. This is just turning into we're movie guys today. When Pesci's talking about cooking grits. Yeah. I'm gonna have to use that for the top of the show one of these days.
Oh yeah, because I'm from Peanut has grits almost every morning. She loves them.
Mm. So these Chilean miners, I guess we'll get to this before we take a break. Ha ha ha, as if this first part of this show wasn't one big break. I mean, it was really great to have a positive story.
Yeah, but fuck those miners. I don't give a shit about some Chilean miners. I'm sorry. Fuck them. I didn't know. This story was so off my radar.
I'm thinking, here's something we can all agree about. We can all say
them.
Salute to the Chilean miners and well, I underestimated
I
you, sir.
It's like they were down there for 62 days. I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
I was like, I haven't been caring about this for 2 months. Are you kidding me?
Those bastard miners getting caught in that.
Sons of bitches. And I tweeted the other day, I said I couldn't listen to that story without hearing Alexander Dane from Galaxy Quest saying, miners, not miners.
Yeah,
right. And the other guy going, miners, not miners.
That's right. Those little babies that turn evil, right?
Let's get out of here before one of those things kills Guy.
Oh, God, you know what? Yeah, that's another one. That is another. You want to talk about great underrated comedies. Galaxy Quest.
One of the best ever.
Galaxy Quest.
If
that's
you're
right.
A Star Trek nerd, if you're just a sci-fi geek at all, that movie, and you didn't like that movie, there's something desperately wrong with you.
Well, I mean, here's
such a great movie.
Here's my thing with the Chilean miners. I don't know if you've ever had an MRI. But yes, I had a bike accident. A car hit me one time, and I fractured a vertebra in my back. And so they had to shove me into one of those toilet paper tubes, and I'm a little oversized. I'm a big guy. And so I'm in this thing, and it's literally like torture. So I'm seeing them coming up in those in that capsule.
Yeah, the Steve Austin.
Yeah, and just like freaking out. Like I'm sweating and I'm getting nervous and fidgety because all I'm thinking about is I'm such a wuss. All I'm thinking about is how I had to be in that MRI machine. I lasted for a solid 20 minutes and then started a world-class like baby like crying baby freak out. Just get me the hell out of this. And so they put me in the open MRI, which was actually worse. It's like there's a giant contraption like hovering over you, and if that were to break free from the ceiling, then you'd just utterly be crushed.
That's gonna happen. You're gonna be what I want you to do is get one of those Chilean miners on the phone and tell him that story about how
you really
you know felt for him in his toil and his plight, his third world shithole where he's forced to work, you know, 80 hours a week underground like a mole.
Yeah.
And then how you were really feeling for him because one time in your first world medicine experience, you had to have an MRI because you were hit on your bike.
Right. I was hit on my bike.
You guys have a lot in common there, Bob.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's exactly really why I brought it up, of course, because I, you know, I'm a big wuss.
You're like cousins.
I'm a big baby. I'm a big
spend
baby.
6 weeks, spend 6 weeks in the hospital where they push you down to make you wait in the x-ray room for 90 minutes and then barf bile all over yourself the way I did and then complain about your MRI.
Okay.
I scoff at you.
Yeah. Right.
I barfed bile on myself and it was like 10W-40 motor oil tinted green that had been microwaved for about an hour. It was the most terrifying experience. I thought I was possessed. I thought I was like I needed an exorcist at that point.
Oh, poor baby.
Because I didn't know there was such a thing as bile at that point.
Yeah.
You know, you don't when you're a teenager. You don't know anything about yourself.
You know what? If you're going to spew in this. Oh, God. So there you go. There's the first 20 minutes of the Bob and Elvis show. Brought to you today. I didn't even start. You know, I didn't even get a chance to start the show. Today's show brought to you by. I'm Bob Seska. That's Elvis Dingledean. He's in Nebraska.
I am.
Today's show brought to you by Bubble Genius and Pomegranate Journeys. Bubble Genius, in particular, is running a couple of big deals. I mean, first of all, they their website is back, so you can absolutely go. No more Etsy. Well, you should probably still go to Etsy if you're biased that way. But if you go to bubblegenius.com or click the link on the website, pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. If you subscribe to their newsletter, this is a big deal. If you subscribe to their newsletter, You're getting a massive, or as they say at Bubble Genius, a massive ass discount.
Massive ass.
Massive ass discount all month long. 30% off. 30%. And if you enter the code, the promo code SMALLBIZ, SMALLBIZ, you get your 30% off all month long. Great for
early. If I do both, do I get 60% off?
Yeah, I guess you could. No.
You better check that with the girls.
No. You don't get 60% off. You can. It's like one time. You know, you just only enter it once.
Nice.
So,
go buy some soap, you fuckers.
Yeah. So I mean, you can either do it, I guess, with the newsletter, or you can do it, you know, by just entering the Bob and Elvis Show promo code, which right now is Small Biz.
Small Biz.
Small Biz. And we have another commercial from Bubble Genius, and this is yet again more convergence between our fine sponsors. With no further ado, here's the new Bubble Genius commercial.
Hi, Bob and Elvis listeners. We just got back from Italy. Yeah, we went on a bike tour with Pomegranate Journeys. And the food.
Yeah, the food.
Well, I think I gained about 10 pounds over there.
Me too.
Good times, good times.
Yeah, we weren't hot or sweaty once because we had I Love You Guys.
Yeah, that powder's awesome.
Next time we're going to France.
So if you're going on a bike ride,
make sure you go with Pomegranate Journeys.
And don't forget your powder.
www.bubblegenius.com.
Yes, indeed. See, now we have the convergence there between our two sponsors and our favorite talking nards.
Yep.
And I'm told that...
That is absolutely what my balls sound like.
And I'm trying to figure out where the colloquialism nards comes from, the euphemism nards. I don't know where I heard that.
Well, it's got to be like a bastardization of gonads.
Right.
You know, which is a medical term, gonads.
Experience amazing with Pomegranate Journeys, pomegranate.travel. Pomegranate combines several of my favorite things in the universe: food, wine, cycling, and the European nations of France and Italy. Visit Pomegranate's updated website at pomegranate.travel to see new trips, brand new trips, and a new hiking and photography trip in Italy's famous Cinque Terre. So if you don't want to hop on a bike and ride, I mean, this is total hiking and photography. Pomegranate offers tours in a variety of skill levels for cycling and has several trips designed especially for beginners. So if you're worried about about not being able to do it, don't worry. That's tours will be a perfect introduction to the magic of travel by bike and could very well transform your life. While you're at the main page at pomegranate.travel, make sure to visit and sign up for their newsletter. Absolutely. Sign up for their newsletter. Follow them on Twitter at Planet Pom, and make sure to like and or friend them on Facebook. Mention the Bob and Elvis Show when you sign up for the newsletter and receive a $100 trip credit useful at any time with no expiration date. That's a bargain at twice the price. They pass the savings along to you. It's Pomegranate Journeys at www.pomegranate.travel. So www.pomegranate.travel.
Bob
and Elvis. That's right. In your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yeah, some real verbal jujitsu that Sarah Finowitz does with that, because I still can't get the hang of the
W.
I've seriously been trying. I've seriously been trying to incorporate that into my everyday language.
W.
And Sarah Finowitz is in that new Will Arnett show, and evidently the from what he's saying, it doesn't look like the ratings are. You know, Mitch Hurwitz, who the creator of Arrested Development, has this new show with Will Arnett and Peter Serafinowicz, and the ratings are not great. Which is
I didn't even know there was such a thing. So,
lots of ridiculous wingnut Republican candidate stuff this week.
Oh, they're flaming out left right?
They really are. And, you know, as I was going through, I realized the sheer volume of stupid. And, you know, so, I mean, some of it is inconsequential, ultimately, other than to paint the Republicans with this broad brush. But, I mean, specifically, there are a couple of candidates who have really no chance of winning. Christine O'Donnell, for example. But there is one that I get to in a second who actually does have a shot of winning, and it's really effing scary. But Christine O'Donnell, it was a big debate at University of Delaware last night, O'Donnell and Chris Coons. Here's a quote from Christine O'Donnell. This is all you need to know about Christine O'Donnell. Well, if you remember when we were fighting the Soviets over there in Afghanistan in the 80s and 90s, we did not finish the job. Mm-hmm. So now we have a responsibility to finish the job.
Mm. Yeah, and in fact, that's awesome. She watched Charlie Wilson's War an hour before the thing, like on Fast Forward, and has no idea what she's talking about. So.
Right.
Good job.
She thinks 80s and 90s. Let's, by all means, let's get back over there and start fighting some Soviets, Rambo.
Well, and that and you know, the natural correlation to, or the, you know, if you extend that argument out, it's we heavily armed what is now, you know, the fucking Taliban. So enjoy that. The Mujahideen were superheroes when the enemy was the Soviet Union, and fuck the religious aspect of it, and we just walked out. She's right to some extent. I mean, we didn't finish the job. That's the lesson of the end of Charlie Wilson's War. They're all sitting there, and they don't even get the name of the country right, you know, and there's that Greek, you know, that great CIA guy played by, what's-his-face, that, you know, he's like, if we walk away, big trouble, and so to some extent, she's right about walking away and not finishing the job, but that's what we always do.
Yeah.
We do whatever the job on the table is, and then we walk away, and then these horrible, horrible dictators show up.
Yeah.
Well, because we're awesome.
I mean, clearly she's talking about fighting terrorists, but what it sounds like is we need to go back over there and fight Soviets because we were fighting them in the 90s, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, in Afghanistan, sure. That war just went on and on.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Because we didn't learn the lesson at all. You know, George Bush never heard of this Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and how that all worked out.
Right.
Or ever read a book about it that, you know, it's an unconquerable country.
Maybe she has maybe she's privy to some intelligence that proves that the Soviet Union didn't collapse in 1989.
Yeah. And, it's kind of chilling to me. I've been watching the new Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr. one on cable a lot because it's on all the time. And I loved it. I love Robert Downey Jr. I love Jude Law. I'm super hyper gay for Jude Law. And he's Watson, right? And if you think about it, he's got this war wound that he got in Afghanistan. And it's like Sherlock Holmes is talking. In the Victorian era, people were getting their asses kicked. Whitey was getting their asses kicked in Afghanistan.
Wow.
In Victorian times. So what the fuck? Dude, just somebody read Arthur Conan Doyle before they invade Afghanistan. It's so upsetting.
By the way, here's the sound of you being gay for Jude Law.
That's me drinking.
That's right.
Out of my dish.
Or just whacking it to.
Well, he is so pretty in AI. I don't even know what they did with him, but he's so pretty.
He's got a nice glossy sheen, that plasticky sheen, right?
The talented Mr. Ripley. Oh. I was watching Jay and Silent Bob the other day, and the part where Affleck and Damon are making fun of themselves, and Affleck's like, yeah, I know you got to get back to whatever gay serial killer, Western cowboy movie. It's just the two of them bitching each other. It was so fucking funny in that mock Goodwill Hunting sequel. That is a funny, funny movie. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Funny, funny.
Really? You think so?
I laughed with my teeth showing in that movie.
Will Ferrell. Okay, Will Ferrell.
No, the whole thing. I'm sorry, but Jay, that kid carried that movie. I am sorry. Great, great, funny, funny movie.
No, if there's one latter-day Kevin Smith movie that was actually good and tolerable, it was Clerks 2.
You are smoking crack.
No, anything after, like, okay, Clerks was good.
But in retrospect, it doesn't hold up. Like, I can't stand, and Kevin, I'm not a Kevin Smith fan anymore. Like, his zeitgeist, whatever it was about him, wore the fuck off you know, by his second movie. It's like, oh, could you be any more smug and self-satisfied? And yeah. could your scripts be any more self-aware?
Right.
I mean, you might as well just have all your actors sitting at a table reading the script.
Yeah,
because
but,
it's so scripted.
What movie of his was more self-aware than Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
But that's why it was great. When they're looking in the, you know, Affleck says, a Jay and Silent Bob movie? Who would pay to see that? And they all look in the camera and Kevin Smith gives this shit-eating grin. That's, at that point, you know that this movie is exactly the opposite of all the others, which is, yes, I'm self-aware. I'm going to look you in the eye in the camera and say, this movie is for shit. And that's why it makes me laugh.
Bad, funny. Bad movie.
No, it is a funny movie. And I wanted you to open the show with his little... song at the beginning where he goes fuck because I was all pissed off about having to change the title of a blog that I did, and then I ran it by Redman and he agreed with you, so fuck
yeah
you.
Well yeah, look, I mean, you know,
no, I know, I don't know, we don't need to argue about it, but fuck Target, and that commercial pissed me off, so.
I mean, I've got to earn that $100 somehow every month.
Oh, and you know? I know, and he explained it all to me because he's, you know, the master of the blogatubes.
Yeah,
and you know, so I get fussy.
I see. So you went running to Redmond,
and he ultimately defended me. Days later, I said, and he goes, "Oh, I got to side with Bob on this one." So both of you can just go fuck each other.
So John Racy is running for Senate from West Virginia.
His name's not Racy.
His name is Racy.
That's like a nickname for racists. Like, oh,
that's right. John Racy. Racy. He's Racy.
Nice. All right. What did he do? I have never heard of this guy.
This guy is, he actually, now this is the guy who actually has a shot at winning in November. This guy has actually a shot to be in the United States Senate. I mean, he's with, like, inside the margin of error versus Joe Manchin in West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia.
Yeah. West Virginia.
State. Yeah.
So, and he's the guy who produced the Hickey, you know, the Hickey ad, looking for Hickey actors.
Oh, that, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. All right.
That was John Racy. But he says, this is his crazy thing from this week. He says, we need 1,000 laser systems put in the sky, and we need it right now.
Well, he's got you there.
1,000 freaking laser beams. Exactly 1,000. Not 900. We cannot have just 900. That's not going to do it. We need
1,500 exactly. 1,500 is too
many. 1,500, way too many freaking lasers.
Too many. Beyond the pale.
Right. But 1,000 lasers. Yeah, that's going to do it.
He really understands the nature of asymmetric warfare in the 21st century. He really does.
Yeah.
Because what everyone's worried about is, you know, ICBMs at this point. Everyone, it's on everybody's mind. What are we going to do about intercontinental ballistic missiles?
Wolverines!
I never 80s. Understood that fucking movie. Why? How could they have invaded? You can't invade America.
Yeah.
You just bomb it. Intercontinental ballistic missiles, done, no movie. Be like the day after.
And the Salvadorians were like one of the armies that came in.
Yeah.
The Salvadorians.
It's for shit. And they're going to remake that.
They're remaking it, yeah.
That's.
It's going to be huge. I mean, there's a big teabagger boner out there right now for that remake.
You get dig up Swayze's corpse and put him in it.
Yep. No. See, now,
bring him up in that great big capsule they brought up the Chilean miners.
I'm going to just title this show's title on iTunes is just going to be, we're offending everybody.
Give a shit. Who am I going to offend? Fuck you if I'm offending you.
Well, I mean, there's no, you're not offending me. But, you know, there's not
I'm
even.
Talking to the listener.
Oh, okay. Well, there's no. We offended each other this week. But yes. That's another story.
No, I offended you and.
You didn't offend me at all. I mean, I'm clearly, if you look at the archives, I'm not a prude when it comes to language on the blog. But it's weird. There was a convergence of timing where I was just having a conversation with the Banter Media guys. And, there's all the ad networks are going around, you know, the people who serve these banners to all these blogs go around and look for nasty language. And if you have nasty language, suddenly you're blacklisted. And that was the conversation that was happening that day. And then I'm going, well, okay, maybe I'll just put a temporary, I agree. Well, we'll suspend the language a little bit, but I made sure to understand.
Ding, fuck you, Target.
Yeah, fuck you, Target. I'm sitting there eating dinner and I go, what?
and it automatically tweets under your name. So that was awesome. Yeah, and then, fuck you, Target.
And then all
Bob
the
Seska go at tweet Twitter says,
"That's right,
fuck you, Target."
I look at all the RTs, and there's like there must be three dozen RTs. Bob Seska go, fuck you, Target.
Fuck you, Target. Well, so. See, you ought to turn that off. That it doesn't automate. You know, automatically. You obviously have some sort of bot that automatically tweets the new post.
Twitter feed, yeah.
You might want to turn that off when it's me posting.
Well,
because I'm a wild card. I'm a rebel.
I'd like to figure out how exactly I can get your name when you tweet something.
Yeah.
How I can get your name attached to it because, you know, it's not fair that someone sees that and doesn't actually look at the byline and then credits me with your ribaldry.
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 So I wasn't expecting to hear that until this year's RenFest.
That's right. There's no practical way to put lasers in space to shoot down ICBMs. Sorry.
There's no ICBMs. That's my point. Yeah. That's not going to happen. Nobody's launching missiles at us ever.
Clearly he's talking about, you know, Iran and, protecting Israel and yada,
nobody
yada.
Thinks, oh, he's not. Was there anything in there that said something about Israel? He's talking about America. He's talking about like subletting a little space on a Verizon telecom satellite with a giant laser platform to knock down 1982 style ICBMs with, you know, multiple impact reentry vehicles.
Okay,
MIRVs.
So,
multiple impact. I got that right. MIRVs. I was
outstanding.
Lyman from
Josh
War Games.
Yeah.
Not Josh.
No, Josh Lyman. I don't know.
But it was Lyman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MIRVs. That's right. Was it the Dabney Coleman character?
Yeah. Oh, he was awesome.
Dabney
you
Coleman.
Pig-eyed sack of shit. Nobody's talking about taking you pig-eyed sack of shit. That was my favorite line of the whole movie.
We're going to get to War Games here in a second, too, by the way. But there's one more John Racy fail. That is just cracking me up. I'm just looking at this quote, and it's cracking me up. I mean, this was a big effing fail. Okay.
You hipster doofus.
He says, this is John Racy. The guy who's within the margin of error, by the way, in West Virginia. He's trying to think of the name Sonia Sotomayor.
Right? Oh, no.
And here's the quote. Was it Sarah Manor? Sarah Manorgan? Sarah Morgan?
He didn't even try to Latinoize it.
Yeah. And he just somehow got Sarah Manorgan. Sarah
Manorgan.
Sarah Manorgan out of Sonia Sotomayor.
Close. That Sonia Sotomayor translates in English into Sarah Manorgan. I think one of those douchebags on the judiciary brought that up during the Isn't it true, Miss Sonia Mayer, that translates into man organ? Now how can we have someone on the Supreme Court of the United States whose last name is man organ?
Oh my God.
It was that douchebag from South Carolina, wasn't it?
Pete Sessions. It was Pete Sessions with the ears just going,
ding, 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 ding.
Your name is Man Organ? Man Organ.
It's soaking my over. Fuck West Virginia.
We cannot have a Justice Man Organ.
Drops some Chilean miners on West Virginia.
John
Stuff Racy. Them full of dynamite.
Was it Sarah Manor? Sarah Man Organ?
Was he being interviewed? What? How?
It was in an interview. Maybe it was the Charleston Daily Mail. No,
it's a fine publication.
Well, here's the story. This is from Think Progress, by the way. In an interview touting his plan to repeal the minimum wage, not to just roll it back, repeal it. They want to repeal it. This guy has a shot at being in the United States Senate. I say again, within the margin of error, wants to repeal the minimum wage. Okay. He slipped up by calling the man he wants to replace, Senator Cart Goodwin, by the wrong first name. Okay, so he misattributes this guy who he's going to be replacing. Right?
Is this dude like 90 years old? I mean, is he enfeebled?
He looks old in the picture. I mean, he's got like white. He's got the big. He's got like big white bushy sideburns.
Oh, nice.
big and an equally bushy eyebrows.
Civil War reenactor.
Yeah, exactly. Waiting for the Confederate drag in 5, 4, 3.
Fuckers.
Yeah. But no, he just, and then he obviously couldn't think of Sonia Sotomayor, so it's Sarah Manorgan.
Sarah Manorgan.
Indeed.
That's so my new porn name.
That might actually be the name of the show, I think.
Sarah Manorgan.
Sarah Manorgan.
Monty Python, Sarah Manorgan.
Sarah Manorgan. Okay, and then Carl Palladino.
That's just not even worth talking about. That guy's such a fucking fruitcake.
Yeah, but I mean, it's I love it. I love it! Because he, you know, was financing.
These are your candidates, everyone. This is what happens when you let teabaggers vote.
Yeah.
This is what you get. So congratulations.
Total.
And where is the this is so? I mean, Palladino doesn't surprise me. All these people don't surprise me. Where is the Republican Party establishment on this? Where is Michael Steele? Where are the vicious denunciations of this sort of bullshit?
Yeah.
Where is the official Republican Party? There is no such thing. There is no such thing as a official Republican Party right now. There's no leadership. There's no – they are sucking it so hard. They have no idea how bad they're sucking it right now with these lunatics that they're – these anti-gay, anti-brown, anti-everything. They have no idea how hard they're sucking it.
Yeah.
So it baffles me that there aren't constant press statements coming out from the machine, from the actual – you know, from the headquarters of Republican Partyism going, fuck these guys. They don't speak for us, right? Big tent?
Yeah.
Douchebags.
Right.
Unbelievable. Michael Steele is a disgrace. Where is he? Where is he?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Did you see him on with Lawrence O'Donnell? I mean, you want to talk about a disgrace. This guy.
I can't stand that show, dude. I've tried given the last word.
But you don't like, I mean, he is just, he's the master at these questions about trapping these guys, which is, that's the entertainment part.
Yeah, but sometimes it's a little bit, like, did you see him with Rand Paul?
Yeah.
That was
or with
disgrace,
Ron Paul.
Dude.
Yeah.
Ron Paul, whatever. Yeah. That interview was a fucking disgrace.
Yeah.
Ron Paul had him on. I was agreeing with Ron Paul, like, every 30 seconds. I'm like, yeah, he's got you there.
Wow.
What does he got to come on and answer for his son about? They're completely different people. They're completely different candidates. They're completely different, you know, political animals, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I just thought they were cheap shots. And I think Lawrence is reading his own CV too much. He's a little bit up his own
nose. Well, that's true.
And I love him. I love him to death. And I love his canon of work, obviously, with the West Wing and everything else. But, dude, he's got to get off that soapbox. He's really killing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even Maddow the other day with that lunatic, that complete fucking lunatic from I don't even know where, Idaho, some.
Yeah.
That was scientist guy.
Yeah.
Even she wasn't helping things with her. I mean, just stick to the questions and just keep the snark out of it, because he was, you know, she was letting him detract from his answers by giving him the works.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, that's worth watching. And there was a factor there when there was obviously a satellite delay, which you know what? Yeah. It happens. I don't ever see satellite delays on Fox News Channel or CNN. Do you? I am constantly seeing satellite delays. Like Chris Matthews did a whole, like a week of shows in Ireland. He was out there in Ireland with President Clinton. And every person he interviewed, it was just, I think he was like interviewing Bill Maher at one point, and Bill Maher would say something, and then there was this 10-second delay, and then Matthews would then laugh. I mean, just so...
Yeah. It's the 21st century. Don't we have better technology now that where we don't have to bounce it off, 12 geosynchronous platforms to get the isn't there something with nanotechnology or something we can do? Aren't they teleporting photons now? Can we just teleport?
Right.
Because the satellite delay, it seems so 1960s to me. Yeah. Like it should be, Edward R. Murrow going, can you hear me, Liberace? And it's like 20 minutes later. It's like, seems like they mastered it back then.
Well, here's what they got to do. I mean, and I'm no genius when it comes to any of this cable news shit. I mean, it's impossible. It really is a challenge to do any of those, those little windows. To be in one of those little windows, I'm not kidding around when I say this. That is a skill, one which I do not have. And that the people who do that are actually, I do not. And the people who can do it, my hat's off to them. But you know what they really ought to do is, if they're going to have a satellite delay, if there's going to be that gap between question and answer, or as in the Maddow interview, it's going to be that, oh, just that big overlap. Maybe pre-record it.
Yeah.
Pre-record the interview and then slice out those gaps.
And just don't use that technology for what you know is going to be a contentious debate, because that just turns into a fucking train wreck. I mean, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. That's fine. But if you know, which they had to have known, that this would turn into a shouting match, don't do it. It just becomes comical and you just can't bear it anymore. You just want to turn it off. It's so annoying.
Well, she did. I think, and I love Rachel, but I mean, I think she did let her temper get away from her a little bit, because this guy was, this guy was totally hanging himself. And I can't remember the guy's name. He's a candidate for Congress out of Oregon. He's like he's running for Congress in Oregon 4.
And fuck him. And she had him on she had him to rights on some things, and some things he was able to kind of be slippery about, but the constantly talking about the interview instead of just the interview, I was just like, oh, Rachel, just let that go. Just get to the questions, like you said, let him hang himself. So that's these people that go on her show, they've got to be extra special stupid to put, that's why 99.9% of them won't touch it, because they know she is fair, and she absolutely is. Yeah. She's fair. She's honest. There's no tricks. There's no smugness, really. Not like the Lawrence O'Donnell stuff. Yeah. I don't think that show's going to last. I mean, looking at Twitter, even the liberal, nobody seems to be catching on to it.
So. Yeah, I mean, well, you get to the point, I think, here's the problem with the Lawrence O'Donnell thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's less to do with Lawrence O'Donnell. We could agree to disagree on that. I think it has more to do with the fact that at 10 o'clock, by 10 o'clock at night, I do not want to have anything to do with any of that crap. Yeah. I mean, I'm done. At 10 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock rolls around. If I see another poll or another interview with a silly wingnut, I was going to gouge my eyeballs out with an ice pick.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, I mean, by the time it gets to O'Donnell, everything has been said. I mean, even the Olbermann Maddow block is a lot of repetition.
Right.
I typically just watch one or the other.
Yeah.
Because I just can't handle seeing the same story from two different angles. And she's just off on the DADT stuff, which is just a disgrace. This Obama's just got to. I really hope. This new thing, this new interview with Obama where he's just shitting on himself and everybody's scratching their head wondering what the hell he's doing with this self-analyzing and navel-gazing and all this, I really hope this is the precursor to him just like pre-November ass-whooping on something. He's got to come out and do something now.
Right.
Hard. Like really do something. Like just come out and have a – I want him to just come out and have a press conference where he goes, you know what? Fuck all of you. Just like with a great big yardstick and just start beating people with it and like enacting legislation while he's clubbing the shit out of people. I want to see him come out like in a suit made of executive orders, right? And he's just ripping the executive orders off. Executive order 158, bitches, pow! And gets somebody in my head. I mean, I want to see it now, because all of this intellectual overthinking navel gazing shit is pissing me off.
Yeah,
and I'm really hoping it's the precursor. I think he's got the entire presidency. I think he literally has a notebook that's divided out into years. You know, 2009, 2010, 2000, and he's just checking the shit off like he's like super. He's got a time machine. He knows exactly what's going on.
Right.
I think we're in for a big surprise from something.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's got to happen. And it's gonna happen between now and really when before the 2012. Election season starts. I mean, there's going to be some serious action going on at the White House.
I think they know 2010 is a goner. I mean, I think they've written that off.
Yeah.
A lot of the pundits and everybody don't, because that's their news cycle, right? They need it to be a fight.
Yeah.
I think he's looking for 2012 hard. And, I think he's got some fucking surprises. I want to see the coat, the Technicolor dream coat made out of executive orders, like printed on different color paper, right? Like pink for fucking DADT and just pow, pow, going to overturn the death penalty. I mean, I want to see some shit going on. Mm-hmm. I want like every death row prisoner invited to the White House for coffee.
Right.
That's what I want.
Yeah, that's good. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
Fuck the death penalty.
That terror trial's happening up in New York now.
Yeah,
No one's talking about it. Yeah. Pure products, pure genius, bubblegenius.com is back. Very simple. All you got to do is remember WWW, full stop.
There you go.
Bubble Genius, full stop, COM. That's all you need to know. Hilarious, all-natural, eco-friendly products for bath, body, and mental well-being. Plus, free soap for you if you vote on Election Day. Get your I Voted sticker on Election Day. Take a picture of yourself. Send it to Bubble Genius, and you'll get a code for a huge discount on your next purchase. It'll be good for the first 2 weeks of November. See, you vote, you get free stuff. We're buying votes.
Mm-hmm. With soap.
That's right, with soap.
So you can't call it dirty politics.
No! Hey! Hi-yo! Bubble Genius brings you soap and body products like you've never seen before. They've got something for everyone from guys to girls to kitties to expectant mothers and even your doggy. They even have a few things for your home. And they've got really cool shit like, if you don't have your Glenn Beck or Sarah Palin voodoo dolls yet, they make a great gift. Bubble Genius strives to be good to your skin while also being good to the planet. Most of their packaging is recyclable. They source their ingredients as close to home as possible, thereby supporting other local and domestic businesses while cutting down on fossil fuel consumption by not having stuff shipped from across the globe. They do their best to use organic ingredients when they're accessible and affordable. And their soaps are free of chemical detergents and surfactants. Seriously, these people are going to rule the world. So get on board with Bubble Genius as soon as possible. Enter your promo code Bob and Elvis, B-O-B-A-N-D-E-L-V-I-S, and get 15% off your entire order. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Indeed it is. So this is something that I had on the agenda for last week and didn't get to it, and absolutely wanted to bring this up because, we're talking about how ridiculous the Republicans are, and you cannot, and this is sort of a news item that kind of slipped through the cracks. It even slipped through the cracks of our show, and all we do is talk about our goddamn animals. Here it is. A conservative group in Missouri is picking up the backing of the Tea Party and Joe the Plumber in its quest to stop the Humane Society and other animal rights groups from passing quote-unquote radical anti-puppy mill legislation. Oh, yeah. The measure, which is called Proposition B, or the Puppy Mill Cruelty Prevention Act, aims to help eliminate 3,000 puppy mills in Missouri that constitute 30% of all puppy mills in the United States. And the Republicans and Tea Party people and Joe the Plumber are against that.
Yeah, but why? Is it just a ballot initiative? There are no riders on there or anything that makes them come out against? This isn't one of those tricky political things where they go, oh, well, he was against, free baby food for dying children, when it turns out that was a rider on some great big bloated something else. It's just they're just against anti-puppy mill legislation.
Yeah, Alliance for Truth.
I don't understand.
Alliance for Truth says this bill is part of a quote unquote radical agenda. It's misleading the public with its intentions. The Humane Society seeks only to raise the cost of breeding dogs. Oh, so this is like, oh, yeah, we don't want to, we're raising taxes on, people who torture animals. Mm. That's kind of the gist here.
Mm. So it's like protecting Second Amendment rights for parents, basically. It's their basic philosophy run out to its most ridiculous.
Exactly. It says the law would make it, and this is the actual quote, the law would make it ever more difficult for middle-class American families to be dog owners. Mm. Yeah, dog owners. Owners of dogs that have, all kinds of genetic deformities and are raised in filth. Yeah, absolutely. Let's not have any more dog owners like that, please.
And isn't this in a part of the country that's responsible for some ridiculous percentage of all puppy mills?
Yes, like it would eliminate 30% of all the puppy mills in the United States are based in Missouri. Wow, that's 3,000. There are
I thought it was Ohio. It's Missouri?
No, it's Missouri. Yeah, huh. Or Missouri.
Down there. That's not far from me. I'll just drive down there and kick some ass.
Yeah, but 3,000 puppy mills. One puppy mill is one puppy mill too many.
Mm. And they produce hundreds, so we're talking tens of thousands of animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And then they farm these puppies out to they send these puppies out to pet stores, mm-hmm. And
I don't even know. Remember when the mall, like Springfield Mall, used to have a pet store? Remember when malls used to have pet stores? You could buy animals in there.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know where there's a pet store that sells dogs. Like even the, you know, like the fucking PetSmart in Omaha, you go down there and they've got like homeless, like shelter kitties, but you can't go in there and buy a dog. So I didn't even know they had those anymore.
You actually can. I mean, the pet store at the crap ass mall here.
Has dogs just
dogs.
In cages?
Yes, dogs in really? Cages. It's effing tragic. I mean, these poor dogs in these cages with like no padding. I mean, they're literally, it's like they're standing on a grill. Okay.
Yeah. It's not comfortable.
Yeah. Go out and stand on your own grill with your human feet. Now try it with little tiny dog feet.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Yeah, and you want to go in there with a baseball bat and just, you know, liberate those things. Out here, you know, I want me a new dog, I just go up the hill. There's a bunch of them up there. Hey, you, come on. Throw some bacon at it.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, because you refer to them as batches of cats and batches of dogs. You can go out there like a crop. You can go out and just pluck one off the vine.
I do, yeah. This current crop, I'm going to have to take pictures. They're the goddamn cutest cats I've ever seen. Oh, my God. They've got the funniest little faces, just these flat, round faces. Ugh, so cute. Well, both mamas had, in both litters of four, the runt of both litters looked just like the dad, that son of a bitch ringtail. That stray, feral, son-of-a-bitch, food-stealing ringtail. Each mama had a runt that looked just like him, and both of them died. It was very strange. Jeez. Like some kind of genetic malformity there that, you know, they both identical-looking kittens, and they both died without
each other. Well, and those, and I'm sure those cats are, any animals you have there are 1,000 times healthier than the animals that are bred in these puppy mills.
Well, I'll tell you, out here, and I learned this at my barbershop, because the best way to get human intelligence, as my dad would call it, H-U-M-I-N-T, human intelligence, is to go down to my local barbershop. The guy's been cutting hair for 45 years, and sit there. I'll just go down there with my paper and sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just absorb country, you know, almanac information.
Yeah.
And they said, one time years ago, this guy, I never give my dogs any shots. And I've followed that and have the healthiest dogs I've ever had in my life. None of these cats have shots. None of the, and they're thriving, perfectly healthy animals.
Yeah. By the way, and do not adjust your computer. The Skype is fucking with us right now.
Oh, that's, is that what that is?
Yeah, that's the, yeah. It's making you sound like you're on autotune occasionally. God damn it. But it's okay. But
apparently that doesn't come out on the tape, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, what sometimes happens is people think there's something wrong with their internet, and it's not. It's on the show. Skype. I love you, Skype, but you're fucking with me today.
We've got to find new technology.
Yeah, something new. I mean, it's just like this whole show would not be, I mean, this would not be a show were it not for Skype. And, you know, and
tell you what I did last Saturday. I beamed a kid, a little girl with a volleyball.
You must feel very proud.
It's awesome. Right in front of a fucking crowd of, you know, a whole crowd of people. The ball comes whizzing over towards me, and I deftly snatch it from the air and feel all athletic about myself. And then I'm going to return it, and unfortunately it's the opposite team. Beamed a kid right in her shoulder. Scared the shit out of her.
Oh, nice. Right?
Little third grader. Just trying to play a little volleyball. 40-year-old man throws a fucking volleyball at her. Beams.
Just to haul off and just, it just wings her in the arm. Just.
Yeah. Like it was dodgeball. Just the really, just not the most shining moment of my life.
Good job, fucker.
Thanks. That was awesome.
Mm, man.
Of shame.
That's nice. So, my question about Dexter is this.
Yes.
I mean, clearly, you know, I'm just done. I'm done with politics for this show.
Yeah, me too. Fuck politics.
Yeah, fuck politics.
Fuck those Chilean miners.
So my question about Michael C. Hall during the shooting of the shows that we're watching now, was he suffering from Hodgkin's?
Mm-hmm. I think he was just starting to remit at this point, like late last season. I think he was starting to get over it, but I think last season he was wearing a wig. Like, I mean, I think he was really kicking him in the ass last season.
Oh, no, I thought it was this season, because he had, I think he had Hodgkin's, like, back in April.
I think they shoot pretty close to the, I think they're shooting pretty concurrent with the airing. So, I mean, I think he's had it for like when he won that Emmy or whatever it was that he had it. That was back in whenever. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think he definitely looked different last season.
Yeah.
Something with him. And now the guy that plays Quinn, what the fuck's with that guy? Did he get surgery? He looks like a cadaver.
Yeah, he does.
Doesn't look any, like a couple times in a couple episodes, it just looks complete like a completely different person.
Yeah. They all look like corpses on this show anymore. Everyone looks like a corpse.
And I'll tell you what, I'm tired of the LaGuardia Angel thing already. Yeah. Like, that's not interesting to me. I don't watch Dexter for love tangles. And that just, the whole thing happened too quickly for me. They're dating and then they're married and they got to keep it a secret. You know what, Dexter writers, don't give a shit about any of that. Just move the story along.
Yeah. And by the way, once again, F you, Skype. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I that's like the LaGuardia Angel thing is like the cereal part of Lucky Charms. Just like filler. It's like, it doesn't need to be there.
Pick it out.
Yeah. That's right. You're just taking away. I want to see Dexter doing, crazy shit. Yeah. And investigating and finding and tracking down these
bastards. I thought he was needlessly sloppy with the animal control guy putting the needle in his neck and then letting that guy shoot him with a tranquilizer.
Yeah, that was insane. That was like totally uncharacteristic.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the stuff he shoots people, I was under the impression that it was succinylcholine, which is what they use to paralyze people before the lethal injection, which makes you could literally pick a person up by the feet and head and you'd be stiff as a board. It just locks your whole shit up and it lasts forever.
Yeah.
So the paramedics would get there and find a completely rigid dude if that sucks in the hole that he's putting in there. So I got a little annoyed with that. At least put your arm around his fucking neck when you're going to stick him. Have some control of your victim.
Yeah.
You can't just let him flop onto the ground.
Now, is this a feature of the books that he actually cases these people in person? Like he actually goes in and takes on an assumed name? And
I've never read any of the books.
No.
I don't want to cross that threshold, right? So I've left all the books. I just watch the show.
I mean, I really like Dexter when he is lurking in the shadows and doing his own homework and then he puts on his superhero costume because I am convinced that Dexter's
the green
superhero.
Long sleeve shirt and the khaki pants. Yeah,
that's another thing that convinces me that Dexter is sort of a, kind of without saying is a superhero.
Yeah, he does have a uniform.
Yeah,
and what I did like about last week's episode was the improvised setup with the wall with the newspaper and the master of the griller, the fucking grilling apron. And basically kills the guy with a steak knife. That was good stuff.
Oh, and then of course the kitchen
gloves.
Yeah, and then the cliffhanger with the,
again, unusual sloppiness for Dexter.
Yeah,
I mean, I know he didn't have a lot of time to case the place because the guy got out of there right after he did in the hospital. But still, a cursory examination of the place should have revealed that there was a victim there. So
I mean, I wonder if that's going to be the arc for the season. Like he's just going to be careless, careless, careless. I mean, or is this bad writing or is this going somewhere? Careless Dexter.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense that he's kind of lost his ground. Rita was, as much as we hated her, she sort of grounded him and made him stable. So he's missing that, but, I don't know. I don't like a careless Dexter. The whole point of Dexter is that he's got this rigid code and he only does things one way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Harry was worrying about that. He's like, fuck this up. So I don't know what he's going to do with this girl that he found.
By the way, the Harry thing, that's something I could really do without. I mean, I could actually tolerate the LaGuardia Angel, marriage and all that stuff. That's fine. But the talking to the dead dad is, it screams out kind of, and I don't know, maybe it's a feature of the book. Again, it might be true to the Dexter stories, but it just seemed like, it just seemed like it was done so well in 6 Feet Under. And now it's not, because there's like a weird kind of filter that they use, some sort of plug-in that makes it look, whenever the dad appears, it's all glowy and sort of very typically like dream sequency, And I don't know. It just seems incongruous with the rest of the show itself in terms of the gritty reality of the Dexter series. And so if you are dissatisfied with the political content of today's show,
go fuck yourself.
Please write to Elvis Dingledean at clusterdouche.com.
Yeah. And then throw yourself down a Chilean mine.
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, and Mad Men was really great this week. Continues to be great. Season finale coming up. Best season of Mad Men yet. Possibly the best season of any television show. One of the best seasons of any television show.
Man, season finale already? Jesus, I'm behind.
They went and they begged for Philip Morris's business to replace Lucky Strikes.
Oh, nice.
I'm just looking at that. I'm looking at this whole season as a small business owner, right? I'm looking at all of this and I'm going, yep. Everything that happens, I'm going, yep, been there. Yep. They were all gathered in the lobby waiting for the Philip Morris people to walk in, just like to save their business, basically, to save Sterling Cooper Draper Price. And they didn't show up. And so, you know, just that. Yeah, exactly. And just going, yep, I've been there. I've been there. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You fudge with us, you fudge with the best. Drive safely. We shall be back next Thursday for another big show. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.